Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com, calling in live this week from wonderful, sunny Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And we have got yet another great show lined up for you guys today. We have my friend and co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. Wonderful.
How are you?
I am very well. It's wonderful to be on yet another show with yet another fabulous guest that our listeners can learn from, be inspired by, and so on. And I have been looking forward for weeks to having Ron Roth join us on today's show. A number of years ago when I was hosting the Spark Effect radio show is when I first met Ron. And he was, basically he had me laughing through the whole show, and I just knew that as you and I continuously look for people who can come and inspire new entrepreneurs, continuing entrepreneurs, I knew I wanted Ron to come back because his story is such the perfect example of the entrepreneurial trail, the unexpected opportunities that come up, the unexpected insights, the unexpected redirections that take place in business. So, Ron, welcome. I'm so glad you could join us today.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm well. So, you know, if someone were to go to LinkedIn.com right now and look for you, they'd see you have a really incredible business background before the businesses, the entrepreneurial businesses we're going to talk about today. So let's give people a little flavor of who you were in business before you and your partners started that business a few years ago, the unnamed business. We'll name it in a moment.
Well, years ago in what seems to be another life, I started in the real estate business selling real estate, and I did that for quite a number of years and still involved with it a little bit. And from there is when we, with friends, talked about maybe starting a new business, which was the complete opposite of what I had been doing at the time.
And at the time, did you think of yourself, when you were in real estate, did you think of yourself as entrepreneurial?
I've always thought of myself as entrepreneurial. I always wanted to build something from scratch and see what happens when it took off.
Okay, so here you were immersed in real estate in Los Angeles, a fabulous place to be in real estate, and you're sitting down with your friends, and where did that conversation go?
Well, we were sitting around in the backyard trying to figure out how to build a little play set for the kids and realized we needed a really good glue. And one of my friends had been in that business for quite a while, and he sat back and said to us, I think we can make a glue that can work really well with this kind of thing. And basically, Gorilla Glue had already been on the market for a while. They're a great company. They have a great product. And he thought we can come up with something very similar and maybe even better. And that's when the discussion started. How do you do that? What are we going to do? Sounds interesting. Do I really want to do this?
And it's a really important moment because some people sitting in that backyard would have said, what's the point? There's already Gorilla Glue. But that isn't the thinking that went on among you and your partners.
Correct. We thought that we can come up with a product as good, if not better. And we did.
How did that come about?
Well, one of my friends had been in that business for a while. Our other friend, our partner now, also was in that business, and he thought he can come up with a formula that might just do it. So it took a while. I think it took a good, well, almost a year probably, just tinkering, until one day he came in and showed us his the glue that he came up with, and it looked like it worked really, really well. We thought, well, this works. We can do this. What do we do now? And the other partner said, well, I guess we start a company. And that's how it all started.
I have memories of watching commercials on television where things were being glued together and lifted off the ground to prove how strong a glue was and so on. What kinds of beta testing and market testing did you guys do?
Well, we had we went through the regular testing, shear testing, et cetera, and of course just gluing things together to see what would happen. And we found that through our testing and with the manufacturing, we felt we came up with a really good product. And so that's when we started thinking, well, what are we going to name it? How are we going to market it? What are our next steps?
So cool. So next step, what
next
are we going to call it?
What now, are we going to call it?
just for our listeners' sake, were you guys sitting around sipping beer when you were having that conversation?
It's quite possible. Quite possible. Yes, we were. Well, we thought we wanted an interesting name, and we didn't want to be similar to Gorilla Glue, like calling it Rhino Glue or what have you, or we were trying to be a little bit creative and a little bit irreverent. And that's when we came up with the name Sticky Ass Glue, because it's just some sticky ass glue.
And all I can say is every time I hear it, I grin.
Yes. Well, you have to visualize a donkey as our mascot.
Exactly. And if people want to see it, they can go to stickyassglue.com, STICKYASSGLUE, stickyassglue.com.
Correct.
So, of course, interesting things happen. Not only do you have a product, but you've also got a name that you can now build on. So how do you then take that name and leverage that name in your marketing and everything else?
Well, what we did, we came up with obviously websites and various logos, and we just started making calls and going to trade shows, and we found that a lot of people really liked the name. They loved the name, and we were expecting some sort of pushback, but at the time we didn't get it. The consumer from all age groups really thought it was a cute name, and they loved it, and they wanted to try our glue, and once they did, they really liked it. However, when we started talking with the bigger companies, corporate companies, they were a little afraid of using the name Sticky Ass Glue. So we have to think long and hard, what are we going to do? Do we hold firm, or do we come up with something different or an alternative or something added? And so we came up with Sticky Jack Glue, Jack being a male donkey. That's why we named it that. Sticky Jack Glue, so that the bigger companies would feel comfortable marketing it and selling it. And that seems to have worked out well. And as of now, though, we still have it's equal parts Sticky Ass Glue, equal parts Sticky Jack Glue on the success of it. It's a little unorthodox because we're double branding. So that's, if I had to start it all over again, maybe I would do it a little bit differently, but we're in it now and we're sticking with it.
Right. Glued to it. So as you're developing your strategic alliances and your contracts with those vendors that are going to now be stocking your product, are you putting both options in front of them and saying, which one do you want? Which name do you want it on your shelves?
Exactly. And if they feel comfortable with being a little irreverent, then that's what they'll use. And there's some companies out there that really like that name, and they're going with it. And then we have other companies. Right now we're on Home Depot online, so that is obviously Sticky Jack Glue. And it's 50-50 pretty much.
So it's so interesting. And giving them the option is fabulous for them, gets contract signed, and then, as you said, in some ways doubles your effort and doubles your expense.
Yes, it doesn't double the expense, but it does make it a little bit more expensive.
Right. However, the logo itself, if somebody's not looking carefully, they're still looking at the donkey, so they're not paying much attention to what the words are.
Exactly. The logo is exactly the same, and for the Jack, it looks. What we did is we made the logo look like we just put a sticker over the ASS where it says Jack, so they kind of know, oh, I know what this is, even though it says Sticky Jack Glue.
I love that. I love the fact that you deliberately made it look like something stuck over the original word.
Yes, and we do have a dedicated website to Sticky Jack Glue as well, so which would be stickyjackglue.com.
Got it. And both of those links are going to be in the show notes. So now, if we take a step back, here you all were. Two of your partners were in the industry, already familiar with the industry, and this was all new to you. So as you started your conversations about who was going to take, you know, which tasks, where, which hat, which role in the company, what were your initial thoughts among all of you?
Well, I think we all, most of us were pretty good at marketing and selling. We all took the challenge of reaching out and making sales calls and trying to get various companies interested in our product. I went into more of the back office role, making sure things were managed correctly, books were done, people were paid. And then we had another partner that took charge of the manufacturing, filling, et cetera. Another one really took charge of the marketing and sales. They had a higher level of doing sales. That's mostly what they did. And so it seemed to work out fairly well.
And were there particular ahas or unexpected insights that came during that initial stage of the business?
Well, even today, the aha moment is retail is really hard. It's a tough business to crack. So we still have our challenges trying to get into more businesses. But really, we didn't realize how difficult it would be to crack the retail market.
And retail has changed since you launched this business because so much of retail is now done online. It's a radical shift.
Yes, and fortunately, that's been good for us. We do very well with catalogs, online catalogs. Amazon.com does very well for us. We have another company that buys from us, Duluth Trading. A lot of it done online, and that's been very good for us. We find it more difficult to actually get our products in a store where we have to compete for shelf space.
Yeah, very interesting. It's an interesting challenge, and I think it speaks to the challenge in lots of different product lines, lots of different categories.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So did your roles change over time as the business grew?
Not so much. I think they still remain the same. We've had, as we've discussed earlier, new endeavors, so that's changed a little bit, but primarily the same.
Cool. So here you are, you and your partners, you're working on this business. It's working. It's gaining traction and so on. Most people would say, good. Let's just focus on that. So what happened next?
Well, I have family in France, and my uncle wanted to introduce me to a family friend. His name is Gerard. And he said, you need to talk to him. He makes a very interesting product that he would love to manufacture here in the States but needs a partner. And I said, well, I'm busy. I'm doing this. I don't have time. Just talk to him. So I spoke with him, and what he manufactures are products that oxidize wood, meaning that You put these products on hardwood floors or cabinetry or furniture, and it will instantly weather it and turn it gray or various shades depending on the look that you want. So it's an instant, you can turn wood old instantly. And he'd been doing very well in Europe. It's doing incredibly well. And he, over time, convinced me that I can do this here in the United States. And I think, again, after having a couple beers, I said yes.
Thinking about going into yet another product line in yet another industry filled with all kinds of substances that need certifications and clearances, sure.
Of which I know nothing about.
Go ahead.
I was going to say these products are chemically based products, so they're not. It's not an oil. It's not a stain. It's not a paint. It's actually a chemical process when you put the product on the wood that changes the chemistry of the wood, so to speak. So it oxidizes it just as if you were to leave a piece of wood out in your backyard for 10 years. So,
right.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
So basically chemistry is involved, and I really never paid attention in chemistry class because I never thought I'd need it. So it was a steep learning curve.
So now, are you in this business as well with the same set of partners?
Yes. The modifications that we've made to our companies is we've had one of our partners, or two, we were four altogether, two of the partners have really turned their attention to heading up sticky-ass glue, while my other partner and I here in the States have really turned our attention to heading up Easy Lab USA.
And Easy Lab USA,
that's the name of the company.
Right, and I must say I've been to the site, and the textures and the colors are so exquisite. It makes me want to go build a house, build a deck, build things out of wood deliberately so that I can use the various products.
It really makes it's really gorgeous stuff once it's applied and protected. You have this old weathered look of the wood, very similar to reclaimed wood or to barn wood that's very popular. And this trend started taking off in Europe probably about 5-6 years ago, and is just now starting in the United States. This trend, people that want this kind of style for their hardwood floors, or even the exterior of their house if they're building a mountain cabin or a country cottage. It's really starting to take off, and it's very difficult to mimic what nature can do with stains and paints. You can do a pretty good job, but this is the authentic, real thing. And we're very excited about that, and we're also excited that we started manufacturing at the beginning of a trend rather than at the end of a trend.
And this is Gina. So
yes,
looking at the three websites, the stickyjackglue.com and stickyassglue.com are almost identical with the exception of the retail locator pages, right?
Correct.
Has that caused any confusion for people? Yeah, and the word, and the logo.
Yeah. No, actually, we haven't had any issues with that, because I think at one point we do have we have had a couple questions a few years ago. Is it the same glue? Yes, it's the exact same glue, but we haven't had those questions lately. And I think looking at the logo, everything is the same except for the word, and I think people just look at the logo more and understand now that, okay, that's sticky ass glue or sticky jack glue, and know it's a good product.
Well, that says a lot for our listeners to learn from. The brand identity is a lot bigger than just the words of the brand, right? It's the colors, the logo, it's all of it combined.
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't recommend it to have two separate brands melding into one. It's difficult. But we found ourselves in it, and we're working with it fairly well now. I think we're pretty happy with it.
That's outstanding. What would you say was the biggest cause of success for Sticky Ass Glue?
Well, I think the what's very important to us is that we come up with a high quality product, all of them made in the USA, and that was very important to us. And we've come to believe that people do want a high quality product, not just anything. So our polyurethane glue, which is kind of like the Gorilla Glue, works very, very well. We have a super glue now that is probably amongst the best on the market, in our opinion. It's very good. We have a duct tape that is so strong that it can withstand 200-mile-an-hour winds. So
wow.
Those are the things. So we don't come up with a lot of products, but the products that we do come up with are very, very good.
That's awesome. And when you go into a retail location to sell the product, do they typically pick up just one product or several products of the line that you carry?
Some of them will try several products once in a while and then end up really concentrating on one. We don't know why that is. We have certain companies that sell a lot of our polyurethane glue. We have other companies that sell nothing but our tape. So, and those are the retail establishments, brick and mortar. Online, it's across the board. We do fairly well with all of it.
That's very interesting. When someone buys a product from you guys, do they ever learn from you guys about the other products that you carry?
Meaning if we sell the polyurethane glue, do they know about our tape, or is that the question?
Yeah,
well, we always try to let them know that we have products like that. And we try to do that through our retail partners as well, online partners. We try to. Sometimes what we do is put a package together, an 8-ounce bottle of polyurethane glue with our super glue, or a tape of super glue and a polyurethane glue. And then that way they can, and it's a better price when it's packaged, and when they get that, they can have all of our products and learn about them. Even though they're looking for a polyurethane glue or a super glue, they'll say, oh, I'll try this and try the other products.
Great way to do it. And what has been helpful in getting into retail locations?
Well, with retail locations, we work with distributors. That's worked out fairly well. It's a long process, and it's still very difficult. We're not in a ton of retail establishments, and again, I think it's hard for a retail establishment to pick one product over another because they have physical limitations. So the ones that we do get into, I think we do fairly well. And, you know, we do have Gorilla Glue is the gorilla in the room, so to speak. They're big, and they have good products, and their marketing is second to none. And so that's always been somewhat of an issue with us in retail, because why would they not carry Gorilla Glue and carry us? So we still battle that out, and when we do get into a retail establishment, we tend to do fairly well.
What have you done to battle the gorilla? The donkey up against the gorilla?
Yeah, I don't know who would win that.
That would be an interesting contest.
Yeah, it's a separate...
That could be a good viral video, Ron.
It could, and I think we've discussed doing videos, and I think that's probably the next step we're going to do. I think more and more people are expecting to see videos of things, product, you know, showing how the product works, various ways that it can be used. So that's definitely on the horizon, to start doing some videos for both Sticky Ass Glue and for Easy Lab especially, so to show people how to use this.
Oh, I bet that would be really big for Easy Lab. The pictures on the website, I agree with Linda, the textures and just the ideas you get just looking at the pictures, they're phenomenal, very impressive.
Yes, and we're working. That's our first website. I think it's an okay website. It's pretty good, but we're working on improving that as well.
You know, Linda, one of the people we should introduce him to is Amy. from productstoprofits.com?
Sure.
Yep. Does he know who Amy is? I can't remember her last
name. I don't know.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
thank
Amy
you,
Wenslow.
Amy
she focuses
helps product creators to get their products into retail chains. She's incredible.
Right. Well, that could be good for sticky-ass glue as well. I think Easy Lab is primarily more of a B2B. We sell to manufacturers. We're trying to stay out of the retail for that business at the moment. There's probably a few products that we can sell retail, but we're knowing the challenges that we're up against with sticky-ass glue, I thought I'm going to concentrate Easy Lab right now on going towards the manufacturers, whether they're hardwood floor manufacturers or designer installers. These are people that don't necessarily manufacture hardwood floors, but they will design the finish and install them for you, and as well as working with furniture companies, cabinet makers, et cetera. So that's really the target that we're going after with Easy Lab at the moment.
And so, in a sense, you have two different kinds of businesses. They both start with this substance that you're packaging and selling. However, one really was, you know, sticky-ass glue, if I remember correctly from our earlier conversations, was really much trying to go retail. That was
yeah.
the initial concept of the whole point of it. And so when you look at these two business efforts side by side, are there differences in the systems that you have to set up in order to get each of those businesses running and running well?
I think, with the retail side of it, you really have to pay attention to branding, logos, everything has to be top-notch. As a matter of fact, right now we are looking into new packaging for our glue because we realize that the bottle that our glue is in may not attract as many people at first to take a look at and say, hey, I'm going to try this glue. I would think there's a lot more expense in that aspect of it, whereas with Easy Lab, although we do want it to be branded a certain way and to look good, doesn't have nearly the as much of that involvement with it. And so we're able to concentrate on the product and selling it directly to the manufacturers, which I think makes it a bit, it's different, it's a little bit easier, but then again, it's harder as well. So they're both a little bit different, and I'm actually enjoying working with both. It's definitely a learning experience.
You don't like getting bored, clearly.
No. I long for it sometimes, though. I can only be bored today. Vacation, what's that?
Too funny. So, you know, when you think about the unexpected learnings you've had with regards to systems for sticky-ass glue, what have some of those been?
Some of the learning experiences?
Yeah.
Well, I think I had mentioned the packaging, meaning the bottles that they're in. I think realizing that you have a really good product isn't quite enough to get the average consumer to pick it up and buy it. I think you need to make it look as attractive as possible so that it sparks that interest for somebody to say, hey, well, that's a great name. I love the name. And I think that name really was a launching pad for us because it was such a unique name that people bought it just for that. But then for the broader market, I think you need a little bit more than that. For the packaging, the branding, I think, is very, very important in that on the retail side for sticky-ass glue.
Yeah. And is there any learning with to systems that you couldn't have foreseen but realized along the way that you needed to have in place?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot. Yes, definitely. Just trying to... you know, the equipment for making the product and for and again for packaging, we're continually modifying that to come up with better and more efficient ways of producing that product. and also just contact management as well. When you're dealing with various stores and customers, et cetera, you really want to be on the ball with that. And since we are not always there, because we're out in the field as well, we need to be mobile. And so we've done everything that we can to be mobile so that we have everything that we need pretty much at our fingertips when we need it.
Were there team members that you brought on board, whether they were full-time employees or they were outsourced or vendors or so on, that you had to start bringing on board as your team to make Sticky S Glue succeed?
Well, at the beginning, we brought our team together, and we've been with that same team up until now. We've made it work very well, and right now our team is humming along.
And is it just the four of you, all wearing all of...
Well, we have, it's us. We have a couple of outside contractors that come in and do certain work that we need for contract filling or what have you. We'll do a schedule, and we'll hire some people to come in and do that. And that seems to work well for the time being. But other than that, we manage the whole company ourselves.
Got it. It very entrepreneurial, you know, dirt under
yeah.
the nails in and day out.
Yeah.
And what's different about the systems that need to be set up in order for the EasyLab USA to make its presence in the United States?
Well, with EasyLab USA, I'll tell you two things. Two products that I couldn't have done without. We would not have been able to make EasyLab without these two products. One of those is Skype, and the other one is Google Translate. Those have been absolutely invaluable. I do speak French, although it's at probably a sixth grade level. But there are times where I need to figure out words or different phrases. And the Google Translate really helps with that. And sometimes we buy our raw materials from other countries, like from Italy, and Google Translate has just been a godsend. It's not, it's obviously not a perfect translation. However, they figure it out. It's better than trying to speak English and not with someone that doesn't really speak English that well. With the Google Translate, you can definitely get the idea of what you need or what you're trying to get across. And then with Skype, with my partner in France, that's been invaluable. We speak at least several times a week. And not only that, but he has taught us how to make these products from France, and we've been able to set up Skype and see how they're made and what the wood is supposed to look like after you do this and that. So those have been two really invaluable products that we've been using.
Yeah, when you think about it, look at all of the airfare you saved.
Or phone bills, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And you know, it points to an interesting thing. When you and your partners talked about sticky-ass glue, was there a vision for trying to get it overseas as well?
We have been in talks with trying to get it overseas. The laws are a little bit different there, whereas now we make our products here in Southern California, so
pretty strict
in manufacturing. So our products, like for EasyLab, all the products are water-based. There's no solvents. They're very safe to use. Same with our glue. But I think in Europe there are certain laws that we're trying to figure out if it is applying to us or not. So we're working on that. We've had some interest from companies in Europe to sell our product there. So that's something that we hope we can make happen.
Very interesting. And then what about South America and Latin America?
South America, we've looked into that. One of the things... The price point of our products is probably a little high for that area, and also because their laws are less stringent, they can buy glues that are not available here in the U.S. That probably will do the job almost as good. So South America has proven a little bit more difficult in that. Don't know if the branding or just the branding would take hold there we would have to back it up with probably a smaller product, which we're working on. We're looking at putting our product into smaller tubes, and maybe that might be something that might work for South America. But we'd love to do something with them as well. Again, we've been in talks with companies down there, and we've tried to do a few tests for selling down there, and we're trying to tweak that to see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting thing to keep playing with the packaging. You know, when we talk fundamentally about how to make sure it's a profitable business, you've got to have people wanting to take it home with them. I was in some hardware store a couple of months ago, and right by the cash wrap where the cash register is, no longer a cash register, now everything's something else, electronic, but but there were these little packets of tiny, tiny, you know, maybe the length of the digit of my thumb, you know, quote, single use super glue or whatever. And I grabbed one of those because why? Because I had in my garage a container with 6 or 7 different tubes of various kinds of glues and things where I'd bought it, opened it, used it, you know, for the equivalent of one thing that needed to be glued together, and then it sat for years, you know, getting rock hard, but I'm not going to throw that away because look at how much I've got left. And it was so interesting to watch my own psychology, which was, oh, I'm going to get this little six-pack and I'm just going to use one and I won't feel guilty if there's still liquid in there when I throw it in the trash because the others are still hermetically sealed. So it's so funny watching, you know, the psychology of all of this.
Well, what you've just mentioned right there, we have been discussing quite a bit, and we think that's probably a way to go. And so we are working on single use for our product for a polyurethane glue, and we think that should do well because you can buy it, you can use it. If the rest of it hardens after a while, you're not really going to care because, like you said, you have two more that are hermetically sealed. That you can use later.
And they're tiny. It's not like you use a cup of the stuff at a time.
Right, exactly. And with the polyurethane glue, you really don't want to use a lot of it. And for those that don't know what a polyurethane glue is, it's a very strong glue that when two items are glued together, they're structurally glued together, meaning that they have strength. You can use it with strength, basically. And the polyurethane is what's called a moisture cure adhesive. So it's the moisture in the air or the moisture in the substrate that will cure the polyurethane glue. And one of the side effects of that is that the glue will tend to foam up a little bit. But that foaming is very necessary because it's that gets into all the nooks and crannies, so to speak, of the substrates that you're gluing together and creates a structural bond. And that's what makes it so strong. But if you use too much of it, you might get too much foam coming up and make a big mess. So if you're using our products, don't use a lot.
You don't need to
because it's very strong.
There we go. I love that marketing.
Yes. And also, our glue, sticky-ass glue, probably is one of the least foaming of the polyurethane glues out there. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
There we go. So when you and your partners talk about what you thought back when you were sitting in that backyard and what you've created now, what is it that you envision you'd all like to be doing a year from now, 5 years from now?
For me, it would be the back office. I would love somebody else to do that. that's never fun doing the books and managing that aspect of the business. I do like getting out there. I do like talking with potential customers and explaining the benefits of our products, et cetera. So I would love to take more time to do that, and that's one of the things. I would like that back office to be run by itself, basically.
Which would mean, you know, adding different team members and so on.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, clearly if you've got the gorilla already in the room, it's kind of hard to think about sticky-ass world domination.
Okay, correct. But there's room for us. a lot of other companies have tried to come up with the polyurethane glue unsuccessfully, because it is a fickle adhesive. It's one of the strongest adhesives you can use, aside from using a two-part epoxy, but it is a little fickle. They can harden in the bottle. They can, like I said, they foam a lot. So a lot of companies have tried and have been unsuccessful, and we're talking big companies. Gorilla Glue has succeeded tremendously well, and we're fortunate enough to still be around for the time being.
Right, right. But, you know, you're putting your finger on something interesting with the two businesses, because you have one business which you started, in a sense, for retail use, another which you, in a sense, you're launching with a more industrial use, and they each have the potential for crossing over into the opposite one. So, for instance, with Sticky Ass Glue, is it a vision for you and your partners to find someone who is would either want to be using it in large volume on the industrial side, or would want to actually acquire you because they envision taking it and making it a sub-brand to themselves and so on?
Well, we actually do market our glue to manufacturers. We do some distribution in that manner. And that's worked out fairly well. So there is a potential. If somebody were to acquire us, I think they'd be acquiring a very interesting brand name, and would probably be able to take it to a far greater level than we're able to do at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But the distribution side of it is very attractive to us, and we have actually started going in that direction in distribution in general for adhesives.
Which, in a sense, takes the business vision up to a higher and broader level.
Yes.
Different than trying to put the swing set together.
Yeah.
And so when you're all sitting around now talking about strategy with these two sort of opposite end of the range, where one is, you know, being sold in small containers and one is being sold in really large industrial, you know, 5-gallon drums and so on.
Mm-hmm.
There
well,
is something to talk about. I mean, there is something to talk about here in the fact that you're dealing with opposite ends of the range, and it's not just opposite ends of the range for a single product. It's you've actually got different products that are at the
right.
opposite end of the range.
Yes, and with EasyLab, it's very interesting, because that is primarily, because we're going from business to business, so to speak, B2B, that is traditionally more in larger quantities. I mean, you can buy it by the gallon if you want, and some people do. If you're doing furniture or what have you, you can buy the products by the gallon, but we also sell them in 55-gallon drums as well. So that's a whole different aspect an opposite aspect to what we're doing with Sticky Ass Glue, where we're selling it in small bottles. And I do I like that aspect of it very much. It helps with the margins.
Yeah. Yes. So do you all sit around now saying, okay, we're dealing with substances, things that stick together, things that change surfaces, what's the third leg of the stool going to be?
Probably distribution. I alluded to that a little bit. We are getting into some distribution of adhesives in general. Because of Sticky Ass Glue and our knowledge of the glue, we get questions sometimes. Well, do you guys make this kind of glue? And we'll say, no, but we can get it for you. So because we know the industry. So that is starting to take off. So I would keep your eyes open for a third company.
There we go. And
we've already started, by the way. So that's a whole
silly. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're going to have to set a date for when you come back on the show and share with us what that third one is.
Yep, and it's all about distribution. So that's in its infancy. We're starting to do that. We're hoping to get that in full swing very soon.
But it's
and
very
then we'll have salespeople, et cetera.
Right, and it's very interesting to think about the model overall, which is in order to get what you need accomplished, you create another business initiative, which now can serve both of those businesses as well as serving, broadening your access to clients, customers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And with distribution, it can help out greatly with that, because now we're introducing things to other companies, and we have a mechanism to get it to them.
The four of you decided early on that you were going to be your own sales team. You didn't say, okay, we have to go find, regional distributors of products and get them to sell it for us. Why that decision?
Well, actually, with Sticky Ass Glue, we did hire some reps. Some were better than others. That's a whole other thing that we're constantly tweaking and trying to find the good representatives across the country that can actually go into these retail establishments and push our product. So we've had success with it. We've had failures with it. So that's always a constant battle to find that external sales force in the name of reps or representatives for our company to get our product out into the retail stores.
You mentioned that you're continuing to keep one toe in the real estate arena. Do your other partners have multiple things they're doing with their time as well?
Probably a little bit. We all kind of try to keep our toe in the very first thing that we've done. So I think that's, you don't want to let go necessarily unless, of course, things take off extraordinarily well, and then we can concentrate all our efforts on just one thing. But it keeps things interesting, and keeping in the old businesses, I think, is great for keeping in touch with other people, networking, because it's not necessarily just the people in your industry that you want to network with. You'd be surprised how helpful it can be to network with people outside of the industry to get new ideas and to get new thoughts into what we're doing inside our industry. So we've always found that very important.
So you spend time at trade shows.
trade shows, yes. Well, for the industry, we do the trade shows and et cetera, and that's always been very good for us, by the way.
Yeah, and you just pointed out something that I think is really important for our listeners to understand, which is part of what keeps the thinking fresh is also getting away from just being immersed in the business day in and day out, day in and day out. You know, with being involved with other industries, other conversations,
it's
creating
very,
brainstorming space.
Yes, and it's very easy to get very insular when you're in a specific industry, and I've always tried to fight against that. I've always been curious about other industries and how other industries work, how people work together, how the relationships that you have to deal with. So I've always found that very interesting, and that's always been a big help for me to keep creative and to keep thinking of new ways of, or at least new ways of looking at things and trying to keep fresh.
So what are some of the ideas that have been sparked for you by looking at other industries or being involved with this more diverse outside of just the business arena?
Well, being in the real estate business, you inevitably get to know a lot about finance. And so learning about what the different financial, even though it's for real estate specific, knowing the financial people in the real estate business, they know financial people outside of the real estate business. And so we're able to really find interesting ways to fund our businesses when need be, or just through networking, meet someone who can be helpful to us in that realm, should we need it. And we have in the past where we don't need it now, but I'm sure we'll need it in the future. So it's good to know that business aspect of it as well.
Well, that's such a good point, because I think most people say, I don't know, I'll go talk to a banker, without realizing that you're not going to see the full range of ideas by just going and talking to a banker.
Yes, my goal has always been, I don't ever want to have to just go meet somebody I've never met before. I'd much rather be introduced. And I think that's always a good thing, because what's key in any industry or in any business really is the relationship you have with your vendors and or service providers. That's very important to me, because I need to know that they're on board with us and that they're willing, that they understand where we're coming from and we understand where they're coming from, and it makes things a lot easier. So personal relationships is very important in any business, I think. I think you'll avoid a lot of problems that way.
Or you can get those problems cleared up a lot faster, for certain.
Exactly. If you build a good relationship, that's invaluable.
And so just, again, for clarification for myself, for our listeners, the way you and your partners as a foursome now have the work and the relationship building distributed is how?
Well, we have two partners that are running the sticky ass glue, and so they're really building their relationships on that side. And my other partner and I are doing that with EasyLab. Now, EasyLab is it was such a foreign thing to me when we first started, and to my partner. The learning curve was very steep. And the hardwood floor business, I knew nothing about. So, again, looking outside from either real estate or from people I knew to get introduced to people that knew that industry so that I can learn, that was very important. And to have some introductions, the first few key introductions were really helpful for us. And when you're introduced by a friend, say, hey, this is a friend, he's got a product for hardwood floors, they're brand new in the business, can you give them some information? And then the relationship is such that they would love to help you. I'm not there just selling them or selling to them. I'm there to get an education, and they're very happy to discuss certain things, what our obstacles might be, and more importantly, who we can go talk to that might be interested in our products. And that was key.
So it's really powerful, because what you're able to develop is both mentor-mentee relationships with those folks who have the depth of experience, the depth of problem-solving background, as well as the depth of relationships that they can open doors for.
Exactly.
Very cool. So if you were to have advice...
Sorry, I think we were both going to ask the same question. For our listeners who are starting businesses of their own, what advice do you have for them?
Well, the first thing I would say is definitely do your research, but more important, develop those relationships. Find out in whatever business that you're starting, talk to as many people that have knowledge of that business as you can. The earlier the better. One mentor can be worth so much in being able to develop your company with fewer mistakes and much faster. Relationships is very, very, I think, is very crucial.
I agree. Go ahead, Linda.
I was going to ask a very similar question, which is, you know, if you have people who are sitting around in their backyards with something that they're trying to solve, what should they be anticipating from that brainstorm of, oh, I've come up with the perfect product, to what it actually takes to turn it into something viable that you can literally start test marketing and so on? You know, what's the reasonable expectation of what it takes to go from idea to implementation?
Well, I think anytime you go from idea to implementation, you're going to have roadblocks and issues and unexpected things. But more importantly, what I think is, if you have an idea, the hardest thing, a lot of people have great ideas. You got to take action to make those ideas happen, and you have to start somewhere. Pick someplace. Just start. And try to learn as much as you can about that business. You know, I just discovered a new website. I think it's been around for a while, I'm getting ready to sign up for it. I don't know if you've heard of lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.
Yes,
oh,
it's brilliant.
That is a goldmine of information. You can take these online classes on practically anything under the sun. You don't know how to use QuickBooks? You'll have a whole thing online that teaches you how to use QuickBooks. Because I'll tell you something, I didn't know how to use QuickBooks when I started. So that was a steep learning curve. I still don't really know how to use QuickBooks. I think maybe I should sign up for that on lynda.com. But that's a wealth of information, and the Internet is always a wealth of information. And just learn as much as you can about the industry and then figure out a place to start and then do it.
Very cool.
Great
Gina.
Advice. And
yeah.
Lynda, let's remind our listeners as to where they can find Ron.
So you can find Ron by going to any of the three sites, stickyassglue.com, stickyjackglue.com, or easylabusa.com.
That's correct. That's correct.
Thank you so much, Ron, for all that you've shared today. Lynda and I will
you,
be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Ron, if there's anything else Lynda and I can do to help you in Sticky Ass Glue and Easy Lab USA, please just let us know.
I sure will, and thank you, Lynda, and thank you, Gina. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you all next week.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.